All right, quieting down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios, it's those two fat guys, Bill and Mark, with another Brit and Yankee craft beer pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Not a wild one, bring the drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, testing. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lads. You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
Mark, you're back.
Yes, I am.
And your front's here too.
Right. Both
you're
sides.
You're back from cowboy country, right?
Right.
All right, good man.
We can do cowboy beers.
I think that'll be a good pubcast.
Oh, yeah, that will be excellent pubcast. I didn't even know they had breweries in Laramie, Wyoming, but they did. In between the saddles, they had the brewery there.
And that's not too far north of Denver, right?
Well,
Laramie, it's maybe what,
no,
a couple
three,
of hours?
3 hours.
3 hours,
maybe,
okay.
Yeah.
And you were also at GABF.
Yeah, in Denver, that was.
And you were doing a little something-something for Church Street, right? You
yeah.
were doing their booth.
Yeah.
How was that from behind the booth? Because we talked to Bitterman last year, and he was out there as a volunteer. Now you were there as an actual, I guess, brewer, right?
Yeah, I was there. I would say that's the only way to go, to be behind the booth, you know. It's the general admission is kind of, it's too rowdy and too crazy and loud and all that kind of stuff. So we had a privilege of just retiring somewhere else, you know, out of the big hall.
Oh, I'd love to retire.
Taking a break. Okay, don't misunderstand.
No,
me.
I don't.
Yeah. Anyways, I was looking for beers, and I learned quite a few things. It's a big Charlie Papazian event, and he was there. I talked to him, you know, and we had a good time all together. But I think the best work was done between the brewers and talking to each other and learning from each other.
Yep, that's very often the way, isn't it? It's the interchange of ideas. And speaking of GABF, of course, we are here for pubcast number 205 at the wonderful Ram Brewing Company in Schaumburg. And we hopefully are going to be talking to Mr. Sean Burns, who he and his crew brought in a gold medal, I think.
Yeah,
for
right,
his
yeah.
Chocolat beer.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I'm not really exactly sure about it. I think we'll find out who was behind that.
I think so. So this is going to be a really nice interview, we hope, with him. If he's ready to go. I see him in the distance. He's standing over there. I think he's getting primed up.
Yeah, he's ready. He just says how long it's going to be and all that. I said, just take it easy. It takes what it takes, you
he's
know.
He's in our green room, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
And while we're warming up here, we've had a sample of his Oktoberfest beer, mm-hmm. which turned out to be quite delicious. It was not the nutty finish, it was more the malty finish.
Correct. I would say what he has here to work with, it was very, very well-made beer. So I like it. It wasn't too sweet or caramelly or any mm-hmm. of that. You know, it just had the malty character prominent, and it was easy drinking. I just had a little one, but
I will say though that they served it in a rather frosty mug, so it was a little colder than I hoped for, but it warmed up nicely between my legs.
You put everything between your legs, Phil. I don't
know
why you do
that. Hey, whoa, stay on with that. Oh, good Lord. So if you had a chance to go out to GABF, did you come across any exceptional breweries or beers?
I was actually, the most impressive was that All these, it's still run on IPAs and all these hoppy beers. That's dominating. It's been California and Colorado. They run the show out there. There's no question about it.
Bastards.
Yeah, but gradually all these new Saisons, Gauzes, German beers and all that kind of stuff, they creeping in there, pushing the others at least a little bit out of the way. And yeah. I have to say that I predicted who's going to win the Helles category out there. And
It wasn't me.
No, no. Once I saw who was out there and who organized and all that stuff, I knew I had no chance.
Who was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. It's a it's a brewery in Bellingham, Washington.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember the guy's name, but he was, I would say, in his late 70s, early 80s. And we tasted the beer in parallel. I said, you know, my Helles, your Helles, the same base recipe. But I said, you got more hops in it, you'll win the gold medal.
Well, there you go.
And he was laughing at me next day. For sure, he won the gold medal.
Well, hey, you should get a lottery card then if you can predict the future like that.
No, once I knew, like, Charlie and all those who was in charge. I looked at people. I said, yeah, I know which way this is going. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that way.
Right.
The only thing, I come up with a dilemma a little bit, because you have to brew the beer to the style. Then you have to brew the beer to win that kind of festival. Then you have to brew the beer for the customers or the clients or the drinkers. And putting all those three together, that's quite a skill. I don't have that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
I have to learn.
You just got to tweak your recipe.
Yeah, well.
Do a little tweaking opposed to twerking, which is probably not a good sign.
Yeah, in our German gaze, I tell you, Phil, you know, the thing is that, you know, we have to either brew it to win the competition or brew it to the style.
Mm-hmm.
Either or.
Well, there you go. Because gold medals are everything.
Well, to some people.
So do the latter.
To some people, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, while you were gone, we had a great show with some Rocky Mountain beers. And we did get a chance to try Crooked Stave, who I understand got quite a name for themselves out there. The one that we had was the Serenata Notturna, which turned out to be an interesting beer for all of us, because we didn't like the smell at first, we didn't like the taste at first, but after three sips, we actually kind of got into it and found it rather interesting. So one of those beers that kind of progresses in your mouth,
mm-hmm.
and makes me want to try more.
Well, yes, that's great. And I have to say a little bit more about my trip, that I met very interesting people and brewers out there, and they are now our fans, including the cute, beautiful clerk at the Hyatt Hotel in Denver. She made a point to mention that she's going to come to see us here in Chicago. And she said to me, I'm not just saying it, I'm going to do it. I have family out there. I'm impressed by you guys, what you're doing.
All
and
right.
Also, same happened in Laramie and a couple other, and also in Boise. So they're waiting for our contact information and all that. When we're going to put this show out of the
right.
Cowboy beers, we have fans in the West.
Did they like that when we called them Cowboy beers?
Yes, they laughed.
Oh, they
thought
okay.
It was they thought it was really funny. They never thought of it that way.
Well, I hope that we're going to do that in the next show, so it'll be 206.
Right.
Right. I can't have those beers sitting in your fridge too long, you know?
No, they tendency to disappear one at a time.
All right, well, I know that Sean is heading out this way. I can see him
right.
on the other side of the bar.
Right.
We'll join him, I think, in the next segment.
Yes, let's do that.
Cheers. Oh, you don't have any. You drunk your
water. Well,
you got
clean.
Water. All right, we'll have that there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Grandma, give your heart to somebody.
Mark, we've managed to nail him down. With us today is award-winning brewer for Ram Brewery in Schaumburg, and I think you're also concerned with some of the other Ram breweries around the area, called Sean Burns. Welcome to the show, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you over your glow of winning a medal?
A little bit, honestly. Kind of back to work and ready to do it again, I guess, or come up with some more stuff and go forward, but I definitely am still excited. That, I guess, hasn't gone away. But
now a question I have is, okay, of course, we're here in Schaumburg. We know that there are several Ram locations, and the one that actually was registered, if you will, against the medal was Ram Brewery Wheeling, and I know they have their own brewer down there. So how does that all work?
So basically here in the Great Lakes region is basically our region here for the company. We have Indianapolis is our other brewery in the Midwest or the Great Lakes region, and then we have Wheeling and then Schaumburg. Traditionally, everything's kind of just been based out of Wheeling. If we ever have to centralize anything, it's always the Wheeling location. But in this case, GABF, all of our entries for the three breweries here in the Midwest, we're all based out of Wheeling. But the chaos that won for the chocolate chaos or the cocoa chaos was indeed out of the Schaumburg location. But I think that answers it.
So bottom line is, Mark, he's the man.
Yes, absolutely. That's fantastic.
So while we're sitting around here, you've brought actually not some of your standard beers that are the range that I know that I guess I can call you, with all due respect, a chain brewery. Is that okay?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know. I'd say that's kind of the image that we have as being a chain brewery, but we are you know, employee owned. We have multiple locations. I know chain brewery sometimes has a negative kind of thing to it. But it is what it is, I guess.
I certainly didn't want to mean that by being a chain brewery, as we've discovered, Mark, when we went down to one of the other ones, they had their own way of doing things.
Absolutely, and I think it's important to understand that the brewers in each location have a certain amount of freedom to brew whatever they feel like brewing. So it is not all the same everywhere, like that like McDonald's or something.
Yeah,
even though
they
serve beer in their German location, but that's another story.
In McDonald's?
Yes.
Oh, did you get fries with that?
Yes,
well,
you do.
Well, do you get some fries?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that's why I like them, because they're not all the same.
So while we're sitting here enjoying this conversation, you're going to tempt us with one of your special beers, right?
Yep.
You have about three or four, as I came in today, you have about three or four of them that are not the regular beers.
Yep.
So what would you recommend we try first?
I would probably say, honestly, I would probably say let's go with the Oktoberfest. Again, that one is one that we brew throughout the entire company. Mm-hmm. But this specific recipe, this beer that we're going to drink today, this one is my recipe that I came up with for here. All German malts. I'm pretty traditional when it comes to my Oktoberfest. I like being authentic, but sometimes I throw a little twist in there. So this, I actually threw in Mandarina hops, which are also a German variety. So I stuck with my all German ingredients. But I use that just to kind of throw a little twist at it, which is kind of gives off a little bit of a tangerine, but due to the longer aging process that a lager takes, it did fall off a little bit, so it'll taste more traditional, I think. But if you do get any kind of hop character, it might be like a tangerine type character that goes really well.
Pour her out then.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
So, Mark, you're very familiar with Oktoberfest, because I think you have some association, full transparency here, with Church Street and their Itaskerfest Marzen.
Correct.
What should be the good characteristics of an Oktoberfest?
Okay, that's the deep melanoidin kind of maltiness. Okay, some breweries use a melanoidin malt to make it happen. Some of us, we decoction mash to get the same end result. So the flavor is the same, but it has like a malty start and it dries up towards the end. So you want to have more and more and more. So repeat. And I would say about that mandarin hop that German brewers actually use quite a bit of it now in place, because they don't have enough the traditional Hallertaus and Tettnangs and whatever have you. So it's pretty common there, according to what I know.
And is this hop actually grown in Germany, or is it American German?
No, this one is a authentically grown in German hop variety. I'm sure it will eventually, if it hasn't already been grown in the U.S., but I'm sure it would have a different character. Definitely does have that German kind of noble character, but like I said, it has a kind of a beautiful kind of marmalade-ish type of character that sits on top of it that I think works really well with the kind of toasted bread character that you get from the malt.
So I've tried this, and in fact, I did actually have a pint of this before we started. I know, what a dog. I like this a lot, because if I'm going to do comparisons, and I'm Mr. Consumer, so I probably will, your Marzen is very, very traditional, a little bit darker.
Meaning
very
mine?
Well, when I say yours, I say Church Street. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Lisa and Joe. but I think this one is slightly lighter. Now, whether or not I can tell that there's that mandarina hop in it, I'm not entirely certain.
Right.
What I do find is, you're absolutely right, Mark, that there is an extraordinarily nice, more dry finish to it. Now, we did our English Pale Ale, which had the extremely dry finish to it, but it's not quite like that. It's just about enough to say, ooh, yeah, I wouldn't mind a little bit more of that. So I'm quite happy to have more of this.
Well, again, a little bit more about the mandarin hop. When I was tasting it prior to this, okay. I had it in my mouth, like, and then 2-3 minutes went by, and then I started getting that little mandarin-y kind of the flavor in the mouth, but that came like several minutes after I finished actually drinking it. So yeah. It's there, but yeah. It's subtle, and I definitely like that.
Yeah.
So you've brewed a lot of this. Do you have an Oktoberfest here, or do you just say, hey, it's October, everybody else is doing it, here's a beer?
Yeah, we kind of do it. Well, we do tapping parties usually anytime we tap a beer, a new beer. So we do an Oktoberfest tapping party, but we didn't do anything, crazy this year. It was kind of a low-key, some food and some mugs of fresh Oktoberfest, right.
That's right.
In the room. So, it was a fun time, definitely.
And while speaking of your tapping parties, I suppose we can call this a release party.
Sure.
You recently had a release for your Juicy,
yes.
Which is a double IPA?
Yep.
Double IPA. And I think the people were lining up around the corner, right?
Yeah, people were definitely excited for this one. So it's a double IPA. It's a New England inspired, so a lot of the beers coming out of the Northeast right now that are pale ales or IPAs or double IPAs, they're these hazy English yeast. There's usually wheat or oats in there to kind of enhance the mouthfeel a little bit. Very, very heavy late additions of hops, so they usually are more fruit forward hops, like such as Citra or Galaxy, even Mosaic. So they definitely kind of stand on their own. They have this almost a balance between a traditional English IPA as far as bitterness goes and the mouthfeel being a little bit softer, but definitely Americanized with the heavy-handed fruit forward hops that are literally just dumped in at the end and as late as we possibly can.
And interesting you should say that, because Mark and I were having a discussion just before you stepped out the back there,
yeah.
About the GABF styles and how most of them had a little bit of hops added to it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you described it as the heavy-handed American hops, which is, I guess, Mark, what you found.
That's exactly what I found. And I think that whole festival, as I said, it's really California, Colorado bound, and now the Northeast wants to join the party, so yeah. They brew into it, okay?
Well, hey, it was Midwest bound this year, because 13 Metals is nothing to be sniffed at.
No.
Now, Sean, you've been with Ram Brewery, or I think they originally started out as Big Horn, because when I lived in Michigan for a brief period of time, I went to a Big Horn Brewery,
yeah.
and it had the same logo of the ram horn, and
right.
I think they also started out in Colorado, right, as CB Pots?
We started actually in Seattle area in Washington as Ram. We moved eastward, and we still are, but we moved to Colorado. CB Pots is basically Ram. But the name had to change, basically.
To protect the innocent.
There's a university in Colorado with a mascot that has the
oh,
Ram
really?
Mascot. So,
okay.
So because of that, they decided to go with CB Pots.
Mm-hmm.
But very much the same stuff as far as like beers go. They have the same 6 year-round beers, same menu and whatnot. just a different name, basically.
And you've actually been with them for quite some time. I think since 2007, is that right?
2006.
2006.
It'll be 11 years this January.
So you started out as a server, is that right?
I started as a host.
A host.
I wasn't even old enough to serve.
Waiter.
Yeah. I started as a host. I wasn't even old enough to serve yet.
Okay, Mark. Yeah.
Now he has to bring up the age card, doesn't he? Every time. Started as a host, and then, yes, I did move into server, serving. Basically did everything front of house as far as busboy, food runner, you name it. After I turned 21, I got into tasting beer. Obviously, I was kind of involved in the culture here. So I got into tasting beer, and I really got into the kind of the drinking aspect of it. And then my stepdad
Which
and I,
you had never done before you were 21.
Never had done that. No, it was all new to me. So I got into homebrewing naturally with my my stepdad, and kind of as that curious homebrewer, I ended up knocking on the door here at the brewery door, which I hadn't really ventured into, and started helping the brewer at the time grain out, wash kegs, you name it, all the cleaning, you know, just to get my foot in the door. And
which is most of the work, from what I understand.
Which is a lot of the work. It definitely, you learn to appreciate brewing and beer as a profession. But after that, I decided I took a class at Siebel. I did their online concise course first, just to kind of dabble in some of the science and see if I liked it, and then I still loved it, so I moved on and did the 6-week associate course at Siebel. So I stopped working here for, I think it was 6 weeks. So I stopped working here for 6 weeks and just dedicated all my time to doing that. Finished up that, and then was able to get an official full-time job here as assistant brewer at our Wheeling location. And then about a year later, I moved up to head brewer over here at Schaumburg. And then as of just a couple months ago, moved up even further to the regional brewer position. So now I oversee Schaumburg, Wheeling, Indy, and then as well as our two satellite stores that we have. And kind of just oversee the brewery program and kind of make sure everything's where it needs to be as far as company standard type level, and just kind of helping out the brewers and trying to make sure that they have every tool that they need to try to be as best that they can be. So it's been a cool transition over the last 11 years or so. But
I mean being in one brewery for 11 years is something. I work in IT and Mark does as well.
Yes.
And you know, if you're in the same job for more than 2 years, then that's a long time. Right. I remember my longest job was 10 years. So you beat us both.
Yeah. So does that, Sean, does that mean that you have to travel to these other locations occasionally and take a look at something?
Yes. Now that I'm in the regional role, so I do oversee the Indianapolis store, and then there's a Fisher's store just north of Indianapolis. I do have to do about every month or so. I go down there and just kind of hang out with the brewer, talk to them, see if they need anything, hang out, just kind of do that. And then we are opening up a Columbus location. Actually, they're doing a soft
Columbus,
opening.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be our furthest east that we will be now.
Cool.
But I'm going to be flying out there to kind of help them with the opening and just hang out. And
that's cool.
Probably have a beer or two, and
which is what we're doing here.
Yeah, exactly. And
so once you're out, do you have somebody else here taking care of business then in the meantime?
Yeah. So
it all runs right, Mark.
Yeah.
So this kind of goes back to your first question about why everything was under Wheeling or what's the deal with Wheeling. And so basically, Wheeling traditionally had our regional position there. It has an office in the brewery, whatnot. But being that I was over here in Schaumburg and I kind of had a good momentum going as far as like having people that were interested in my beer, I felt like it would be confusing if I went back to Wheeling when I got the regional position. So I decided to stay here. And now to answer your new question, we did hire an assistant brewer who now shares his time, which is for the first time ever in our history here, where we have an assistant leader that helps both here in Schaumburg and in Wheeling. He usually spends most of his time here, but if Rob, our brewer in Wheeling, needs any help, he tends to go down there and he'll help him out and whatnot.
Okay, cool. Well, right. we'll take a quick break here and come back and talk cans.
All right.
Do you have to go to the can?
No,
you're okay.
Never.
All right, we'll be fine then. All right, so we talked about cans, and Sean, let's test your can opening capabilities. Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. This is something of a new venture for the type of brewery that you are.
Yes.
And of course, you know, you're a big restaurant as well. I mean, you know, this is a big place. It's been here for quite some time, I think, hasn't it? The one in Schomburg, right?
I think 16 years, almost 17 years.
17 years, yeah. Because I remember coming up here in way back, you know, and it's almost like the other guy, the other big brewer who we won't mention, but is R&B.
Yeah, I used to drive up from St. Louis to come here. There's IKEA store, excuse me, advertising them, yeah. But we came there to buy furniture, and then we always drop by here for lunch. Yeah. That's how I learned to know about you and Bubba and stuff.
Yeah.
So you have actually branched out from the corporate brews that I know everybody needs to do, and you're producing your own, and one of these has proven to be quite successful because it's in a can, right? And that is this juicy double IPA. So so tell us, you gave us a description of what was in it, but tell us the facts and figures on it.
Yeah,
what ABV we're looking at?
So we're looking at 8% by volume, and then 80 IBUs calculated, which probably is not nearly that much if we were to actually have it tested. That's the soft bitterness that we're getting, and because we add so many late hops into this beer, there's kind of a perception of bitterness rather than the actual bitterness. So that's why the bitterness is kind of softer and a little bit more tolerable, if you will, or lower than a
beer. Yeah, and I'd say when you take a sniff at it, it's very lemony. It's that lemon-lime kind of character. The hops, the traditional hop character doesn't come through. I mean, this reminds me like, say, Saison style or something like that, as far as the aroma is concerned.
Sure.
It doesn't have the typical IPA stuff at all, and I'm impressed what it kind of tastes. Yeah. I mean, it smells like, or the aroma is overwhelming for an IPA.
And what I notice immediately is the way that it pours out and how you have made it look like orange juice, which I'm sure has something to do with the name, right?
It definitely has a part to do with the name, and I think it's a lot of again, a little bit of the perception of this style of beer. Juicy is kind of some people probably would call it overused word to describe this word, or this type of beer, or this style of beer, I should say. I think it definitely has to look the part to be it. I think the style has, even though it hasn't been politically defined by any kind of BJCP or GABF or anything like
screw that. Politics, man.
right, exactly. I support that.
This is beer.
It has no defining or real defined factors or styles or characteristics is what I'm trying to say. But definitely kind of the underground market definitely thinks of it as being looking like juice, hazy, soft mouthfeel, low bitterness, massive aroma, massive hop flavor.
So Mark, I know that you are not particularly fond of the heavy duty hoppy IPAs. Not like me, I can never get enough of it. Give us your opinion on it,
well,
and I'll tell you what I think.
I'm saying this, okay, when Sean was talking about juice and all that stuff, it actually does have that kind of character. I would say, go as far as saying, you take a sip of it, it's like it's a little bitter orange juice, just squeezed orange juice. It has that much of that orangey kind of character.
No pulp.
No pulp.
No pulp.
No,
no
pulp.
No pulp for
this
you.
This is no pulp orange juice, though, right?
Yeah. This the aroma of it. I had Heady Topper, right? Which I guess is one of those East Coast beers. I haven't had the Julius, which I understand is. Have you had that one?
I have had it. I actually hadn't had it until after the first time that I brewed this beer, and when I tried it, I thought I was actually really impressed that I was able to kind of read about it and kind of get somewhat in the neighborhood of this style. I thought the mouthfeel was really similar. I'm not trying to clone any beers or anything by any means, but I'm trying to get the style down, and I think I accomplished that. I'm not ever going to be 100% happy with any beer that I ever brew, so there's always tweaking that I'm going to do. So I think it definitely could use tweaking, and I'm always going to listen to listen to people, read reviews, whatnot, and I'll adjust as needed if I feel like it's necessary.
Well, I say don't like IPAs or whatever. I challenge all the other IPA brewers, make one of these, you know, then I appreciate what you're doing. This is so good. It's over the top as far as I'm concerned. It's one of the better IPAs I ever tasted in my life. It's very different from the traditional style, per se, but it's extremely enjoyable.
Thank
so you. You got a friend here.
Thank you.
And yeah, and it says on the can, double IPA brewed and double dry hopped with Citra, Eldorado, and Galaxy. Yep. And it is, just like Mark said, it is like a beautiful bitter orange juice, but it's not sweet. Okay,
right.
So that's where the bitter comes in, right? I typically have beers that I think are really good, and I want to drink maybe one a month or maybe one every other week so that I don't get... So I continue to appreciate it.
Sure.
So this one has just gone onto my list, and I'm going to line up next time for the Juicy IPA. Now, are you going to produce more, I would imagine? It isn't on tap, right?
It is on tap still. So we ran out of cans fairly quickly, and then I think when I posted on my my Instagram, and I think we did it on our Facebook page, that we were out. I think people assumed that we were out of it. On draft as well, but it's still pouring. I imagine it'll probably be on for about another week, the way it's been going, unless we see a large influx on that. But I'm not sure that I answered your question.
I don't know of any other beer from the Midwest that is kind of similar to this, and I would be happy to know if there was
very unique.
There are a few breweries around Chicagoland that are doing it. Microphone's doing an awesome job at doing it.
Okay.
He has a special sauce series. It's awesome. I mean, he has the following for that is just ridiculous.
Sean, do you have a special sauce?
This would be my special sauce.
All right, good.
This is my special sauce. So he has one. Hailstorm actually has a really good line of hoppy pale ales and IPAs that he's doing, branding down there. I think Hop Butcher for America. They're a small brewery that's just kind of starting out, but they came out swinging. They just did one called Galaxy Bowl with Galaxy Hops. And that one is really kind of taken off. It's really cool to see this style hit in the Midwest and seeing some really good examples out of it. But I think that's why the popularity of it's so high right now, is just because there's not a lot of breweries, given that I don't know the actual number of breweries around Chicago, but there's definitely
there is a bunch.
And
I was
going to
say someone else, but then I I know this is the wonderful Ram Brewery, so I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah, I would still say that I challenge other people make this kind of beer the way this is made. Okay, you just cheer for your beer, I'd say, my friend.
Cheer for your beer. So the can is interesting. I've always wanted to ask a question, and maybe you know this. So you create a logo for the beer.
My wife does.
Oh, your wife does?
Yep.
Oh, really?
She's
a graphic designer?
Yep.
Wow, cool. How
so it's
cool
kind of, it makes it even more special for me and for her, seeing that, you know, her logos and her design on a can, on a product.
Do you think that you'll ever distribute this out?
The hard thing with this beer, and I think with all the other brewers that are using this beer, and even if you're not using this, anyone brewing IPAs knows this, but there's definitely not enough hops to go around right now, and especially on when you're talking Citra and Galaxy, these are two hops that are really kind of hard to come across, and if you are able to come across them, they're super expensive. So right now, I don't even have a secured line for a lot more Galaxy. I have enough for another
I
batch or two.
I got a guy? I can get you some.
if you got a guy, send him my way. Galaxy is definitely a hard one to get, so... And we'll kind of continue doing other versions of this with different hops. We're going to be working on Morning Fog. It's an all-mosaic hopped Northeast-inspired double IPA. It'll be similar to this. I might boost the alcohol a little bit and play around, maybe add a little bit more oats. But it'll be all-mosaic.
For an even smoother mouthfeel.
An even smoother mouthfeel, yeah.
Well, I had one more question about this one. Since you say Northeast, so is there any caramel malt in this one?
Zero caramel malt.
Right, okay. So it's not so Northeastern necessarily, but it's unique by itself. I didn't put in either coast or anywhere else. It's just the beer by itself rather than trying to mimic anything.
Right.
So
and you
succeeded tremendously in this.
They mentioned Morning Fog. I would have thought that would have been like something with coffee in it, right?
It's my eyes, you know, they have Morning Fog.
Oh, they do, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I I think it's an all-round success. I certainly look for the next releases in cans, and I'm sure there's you've got a lot of supporters as well. Yes. By the way, what's the limit on this? When you opened up, you obviously had to have some sort of limit.
Yeah, so we were doing two per person, which we did get some feedback on that some people were going back in line. I would say there was 25 people maybe out of... I hate to boast, but there's probably about 400 people in line that whole day, or maybe 450, I don't know. But I would say only maybe 25 of those people actually went back in line twice. And so people saw that. We'll work on it. It is a concern to us. We want everyone to be happy. But at the same time, we do want to sell beer, and we want to try to make everything as smooth as possible. So there are some things we could probably do, but we don't want to slow the line down as much. We worked on that, and that was something we definitely fixed this last release. We went through, like I said, almost 200 cases in about 75 minutes. So to go through that fast, that many transactions, it definitely is something that we liked. People definitely... like that aspect of it. So, but we could work on things and try to limit how many times people get back in line and whatnot, or just be a little bit more stern on the limits and whatnot. But
sure, and I can't believe you'd ever be stern.
I won't be. That'll be
there you go.
The GM. I just brew the beer and I give it to them.
Well, all that. I can say is it's damn juicy, right?
Well, it is excellent.
Damn juicy.
Both thumbs up. In your category.
I think so, yeah. So we do a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, if we're not certain.
Awesome.
Definitely thumbs up.
Well,
and
awesome.
I'm very honored to have tried this, seeing as I didn't line up for it. So thanks for bringing out your personal stash.
Absolutely.
Sean, everything that you brew is not golden in my eyes. And in fact, what we have here in front of us is something that's definitely not golden. It's more of a English mild color than anything else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what we're about to taste here.
So this is Gordo. It's our pumpkin ale. It's a... I don't really know what I used as the what I would describe the base beer as, but I'd probably lean somewhere as a dark amber or a kind of lighter brown ale. But a lot of Munich. I think there was oats in here, so kind of bready, silky, if you will. But I also brewed. I dumped some pumpkin puree, and then we did pumpkin pie spice in there, so you get a little bit of the pumpkin pie spice, and then the pumpkin. In my opinion, doesn't add a lot. But it adds a kind of a mouthfeel more than anything, in my opinion.
Okay, I'd say, when you say what the base beer, well, I don't start guessing either, but it to me, it's more like an English-style brown ale.
Yeah.
It's very soft and low-key kind of beer. Yeah. So that would be my guess if I didn't know what I'm...
I would agree with that as well, yeah.
Yeah, so here I am, Mr. Pumpkin Hater. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Mark, because this is definitely on the milder side. And I think what I don't like is the nutmeg and the cinnamon side of it.
Yes.
So you don't like the spices, basically.
The spicy side, yeah.
That's what turns you off.
You know, pumpkin doesn't, in and of itself, have any flavor. You have to kind of roast it or add something to it.
Yep.
I mean, even the bloody seeds, you roast them, you've got to add some sort of barbecue or salt or something on the outside, and
Absolutely.
You're going to get something good.
Well, I pickle them, you know, they're pretty good.
Pickled them?
Yeah.
Pickled pumpkin seeds?
Yeah. No, not seeds, the pumpkin.
Oh, the pumpkin in a chunk.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's
right,
a pickled
right.
squash.
Well, similar to it. Yeah.
You Finns do weird stuff, so. But is this proving to be a popular beer at this time of the year? Because, let's face it, that's what it's all about. Do people drink it?
Yeah. So, really,
I know you're not going to say no, because.
No, I think I have to say no. There's definitely been a trend in the market the last couple years where people are moving away from pumpkin beers. I think there's just too many other beers right now that are exciting and outside the box. That pumpkin beer is no longer outside the box. And it's there's other beers now that you could drink that kind of fill that void. So I definitely think throughout the year, you can kind of fill the pumpkin spice beer type void. without having to wait for the pumpkin beer to come on in the fall. So I definitely, I would say it's fallen off the last couple years. I think it has its niche. I think you have the pumpkin beer drinkers, but I don't know about you, but I remember seeing a lot of pumpkin beers sitting on shelves last year well into winter, maybe even almost spring in some cases. But so I think there's a general consensus in the market right now.
And there's only one thing worse than fresh pumpkin beer, and that's old pumpkin
old beer.
My point to this is that pumpkin beer is very American invention, so it's American beer. And what you're when you're talking all the other beers coming, people finding beers in weird places and in the other countries, and those beers are the ones that are up and coming. I saw a lot of those in Colorado. In a festival out there. So pumpkin beer is just invented here, and it's pretty straightforward, actually. It's easy to understand. People eat pumpkin pies and all that kind of stuff. But then these other ones, they have more mystery in them because people really don't know what they are. And that attracts attention, I think.
Yeah, well, this one, I would agree with you. There's a little malty backbone to it. It's a little softer. It's a little easier on the spice. So, gets a kind of a just slightly below middle thumbs up from me on
that, and that's fine.
But, you know,
that's fine. That's totally fine.
It's less pumpkiny than I thought.
It's less pumpkiny. Yeah.
So exactly. To me, that's a pleasant thing too. Okay. And I've had much worse than this. This is actually on the better side of it. Yeah. Right.
And it's interesting you mentioned that about the pumpkin beers being left on the shelf. Yeah, I did see an article about that, and I think it's being toned back. There's always going to be a market for it. We were serving one of Catamon's pumpkin cyborgs at the Midwest Brewers Fest, and it was going down very, very well. Yeah. You know, I think, I don't want this to sound sexist, but I think the female side of the human species, he said, without having to say the word sex, is that they seem to like those beers. They were coming back and going, oh, this is really good, this is really good. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it just hits their taste buds. We don't know.
Sure.
We'll never know. We're never going to be female.
I can definitely see that. I totally would agree with that statement. I think with that said, though, I definitely see a lot of guys drinking it, but I think you're definitely right, but...
Well, having left pumpkin beer behind, which was called Gordo, right? Why was it called Gordo?
Play on the
gourd. Oh, yeah. Damn! I was trying to think it was some guy's name.
Pumpkin was the logo when we first originally did it. So it was Gordo, the fat in Spanish, Gordo fat.
So it was kind of the big
pumpkin ale is kind of what it was.
So you have one more of your. Outside the corporate brew beers available for us. It's a Saison. And then we're going to come on to the big beer of the evening to conclude. So tell us a little bit about the Saison whilst we hurriedly get rid of the pumpkin beer.
I'm trying. So the Saison actually is a recipe that a home brewer came up with. And he came up with the... recipe. He won a gold medal for it in the Saison category down at the Charlie Orr Memorial Cup down one of the southern suburbs. I can't think of which one. But he won a gold medal for it. So we got teamed up with him. I chose a Saison as kind of mine. I got lucky enough to brew it with him. His is a little bit different. It is a French Saison yeast. But it's dry hopped with a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc hops.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Hallertau Blanc. I'm sorry. I'm getting my grapes confused in the house.
That's okay.
You don't want to do that because if you tread grapes, it's soft on your feet. If you tread hops, it's kind of spiky.
Yeah.
You know?
So it kind of stood out to me as that kind of being the different kind of factor in this beer. But other than that, it was a really kind of classic malt bill, Pilsner with a little bit of wheat, and that was it. Let the yeast shine and let the hops kind of do a little bit of touching up and kind of add some character to it. I think he was really happy with how it turned out. I'm happy with how it turned out.
I haven't got past the aroma yet because it's really, really delicious. It's kind of a yeasty, lemony, but...
A little funky. That one.
All right.
If you don't want to call it a horse blanket, all that stuff, I say it's funky. Funky is a better word for this particular beer. And, okay, you were saying something, so continue.
Finish off. I was just saying in a little peppery background. And it hits all the spots that I expect a Saison to hit. You know, I like it kind of a farmhousey type of approach, right? Everybody says, oh, yeah, it's very farmhousey.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, well, it has that wet horse blanket and all that stuff. You have to take a tour of the stables.
You know,
you would understand.
I've never smelled a wet horse blanket.
Right, so
I have no
new
idea
experience what it, coming up.
But if that's okay, I'll just go down to Arlington Park and try it there.
I have.
You've tasted it.
Yeah, I've tasted it, and I have one comment about the hops. To me, as far as the style is concerned, they're too much late hops. Yeah, especially, I wouldn't mind so much if they were there once you drink it and then it go away. But now I'm talking here and I'm still tasting the hops. Yeah. And that's not typically a Saison characteristic. Right. Other than that.
Couldn't agree more, though. Before you even go on, I couldn't agree more. I think it turned out a little bit more hoppy. I'm not sure. I think the home brewer actually even kind of commented that it tastes a little bit more hoppy than his batch. So there was maybe a scaling error in that from moving from a 5 gallon I forget how much we did, 300 gallons or so. May have been a little bit different, or the hops may have been a little bit different, whatnot. So
yeah, I know. I know how that works, because we go from 10 gallons to do 30 barrels and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So and it's not straightforward. It's not linear what you do, and then your pumping times are different, and your rest times for some reason they're different. They're not exactly the way it's designed. So that, but anyways, well, you know how to tweak these things. You were just talking about it. So if you got that after hop taste, up front is fine, but then it would be even more enjoyable. That's my comment.
Completely
on this
agree.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that finish, once you've had two or three sips of it, that comes through, and it is slightly different to what I'm thinking a Saison would be. If it went a little smoother, then it would have been really nice.
I'm
just saying that
the
it's...
The base flavor is good.
Exactly.
I like it.
You know, so he's got two-thirds of it right.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree. that was kind of my one thing that I would definitely change going forward if I were to brew with him again, or a Saison again if I were to scale up. Just kind of be careful, cautious. On that. So any homebrewers out there that are listening, definitely be careful of that if you ever decide to scale up your batch of Saison, especially if you're trying to do a little bit of a hop play on it, which is what he was doing. He kind of was trying to work in some of those more noble hop characters, newer varieties, and I think they just kind of came through just a little too much. We would change that a little bit.
Yeah, Saison is really not so much play on hops to begin with, the other factors are more important than the hops.
Play on funk. Do you do many collaborations? Or is this kind of your first foray?
So I've done, last year we did a Belgian double style with another homebrewer who won the same competition for his category in Belgian double. That one turned out really nice too. That one was a little bit more traditional as far as the double is concerned. But yeah, I think this was my second one that I've done. But I definitely, if ever I have tank space to do it, I've talked to different home brewers, and I always kind of give them the green light and tell them that they can come in and or at least try to plan with me and whatnot. I haven't had a lot of people follow through with that, but I definitely am always up for it.
Hey, Mark, it's another opportunity for us to get our Britain Yankee English mild here.
Exactly. I heard that, you know.
Yeah, I know. This is really good. Okay, let's play him with more brews, and then maybe he'll...
Right, yeah, and then ask again.
Okay, well, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Yeah.
Right, Mark, we're back for the pièce de résistance, the triumph of the Ram Brewery.
Oh, yeah. You got me right in the middle. I was taking a sip of that Saison still. Yeah.
Sorry,
all right, I'm ready now. Let's talk about beer.
And this is the gold medal winner?
This was a gold medal winner
the chocolate beer. Now, I have to admit, I didn't realize that there was a chocolate beer category. I looked it up in the BJCP guidelines, and I understand that it's not a BJCP recognized style, but I do understand that there are a lot of beers out there that would fall into this style, because I've had a couple of really good ones. Sean, this is part of, well, this is called Chaos, right? Which is is not exactly part of your side note.
Not exactly. So,
no,
so the kind of backstory between side note is it ended up being a, okay, so we started Chaos, which is a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout that we did earlier this year in January. We brewed that, and then just for fun that day, I put on a variant of it which had cocoa nibs in it. And we called it Cocoa Chaos. People loved it. The feedback that we got back on it that day and just in person was just amazing. It was awesome. So we decided that we'd take it this year and we'd put it into JBF. Well, initially we were just going to put regular Chaos in there, and I said I've really got my cocoa nibs kind of game down. I've been working with them a lot this year. Let me do instead of doing regular Chaos, let me do a cocoa Chaos. Let me throw cocoa nibs at it, and then we'll enter it in the chocolate liquor category. And they gave me the okay, so I did that, and I don't know if it was luck or what, but it turned out well enough to pull out a gold medal from JBF. So I'm super excited. It was a proud moment. Definitely, my family and everyone were really proud of me. They're proud of me here at RAM. So yeah,
I think it's great that anybody wins a medal.
Yeah, hey, Sean, we all proud of you here. Being a brewer, I understand how you feel, and I really congratulate for that achievement.
Thank you.
And we were talking about the way that people win these medals, because you guys put this is your passion.
Yes.
This is what you do.
Yes.
And when you have something that is produced at the end of it that people can taste, and then they go, damn, this is good.
Yeah.
I love this bit.
Yeah.
So that really must make you feel good.
It
well,
does.
You happen to have kept back one bottle, especially for the podcast, right?
We did, yes.
So crack that puppy open, because we want to taste this award-winning beer.
Absolutely.
This is Olympic style here, Mark.
Well, it's Olympic style. I have to say that last night I was at John's and...
We don't have a sponsor's bell right now.
Take the sound first. And
okay, yeah. Crack it open.
Not a big hiss, man.
No.
It's lower carbonated.
You got one of them. Nice. You haven't got one of them ones that opens it up so it doesn't crack the top, right? That's the best. Okay, we'll get him one of those.
Well, anyways, what I was saying about the medals, we're in John's last night, and then this guy comes in, and he won the silver medal in the cycling in the Paralympics. And so we actually...
What beer was that?
That was no beer.
Oh, that wasn't a
that
beer.
That was Paralympics out of Rio.
Really?
And I was holding that silver medal in my hand last night.
You're kidding.
That was a point. And the guy is from Winfield, Illinois.
Wow, how about that? Wow, we're all medal winners around here. So this looks like an absolutely delicious beer. This beer pours out just like I would expect it to. Now, I would expect to have a nice, almost light chocolatey looking head to it,
yeah.
Which typically is, you know, you're not going to get a head that's the same color as the beer, I don't think.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to do the aroma, but you have, Mark. What do you reckon?
Well, we say chocolate.
Oh,
well,
chocolate!
Well, it's there. I can get it from 2 feet away. It just lingers out of the glass and comes to your nose and all
Ooh,
that stuff.
But there is a little bit of the alcohol in the background. What is
yes.
this?
So the base beer is, like I said, a bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout. So you are going to get some bourbon character. You're going to get some wood character, a little bit of tannin, maybe a subtle bit of vanilla, but definitely the cocoa nibs are kind of the star of the show, and that's why I wanted to do that in the chocolate beer category, obviously. So,
what about the ABV?
ABV, you're looking, I think this is 11 or 11 and a half.
Oh,
well, that's
yeah.
good.
Well,
I don't get the alcohol so much. It's the bourbon character that comes out. Alcohol is normally a little bit burning, and this one is not burning. It's just the bourbon is very, very strong.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're speechless now. Phil, you're speechless. You didn't.
I haven't had my three sips yet, but so far
that
the
was
first
sip. One, the first long one.
Okay. Oh my God. This is like, this just hitting all my spots, because it's not too sweet.
Right.
It has chocolate, dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what comes through to me.
Yeah.
the bourbon and the vanilla, they're very mild and in the background. Yes. And then, woof, I suddenly get that 11% coming through at the end, but not in a bad way. No. Is it going down?
It's going down on my sensors and the pipe going down. I'm getting that 11%. They feel it. And I have to say, I'm not a chocolate drinker, okay?
No, right.
But I like this beer. And really, based on your point, it's not too sweet. That's why I like it.
Exactly. If I had to equate this to something, I'd say that, you know how, I don't know, have you ever had Starbucks hot chocolate? Their dark hot chocolate?
I'll be honest, I don't think I have.
Oh, man, that is just absolutely tremendous. And the way my wife makes it with the hot milk and everything.
Okay.
So this is the beer drinker's version of this.
Of that.
And obviously, if you don't like chocolate, you're not going to like this beer, right? But if you like a barrel-aged beer with the chocolate background and then that little something, Mark, this is my leather chair and cigar beer.
Well, I was
going
to say that you got to it first. I agree with you.
Oh,
I might join
man.
You. I'm not such a big fan of chocolate, but this beer is perfect. Okay, as a beer, I would rate it really high. Okay, no matter what I like and don't like.
Well, and this is one of those beers that, okay, a lot of people might say it's a way out style or novelty beer, whatever. But
yes.
I don't care what you say. This just hitting all my spots. Well-deserved gold medal, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, is it? Are you going to produce more of it? Is this limited? Are we done? Is this coming out again, like every year?
Right now, I have 3 bottles sitting back there of this batch. I have no more of this batch of beer. We will actually. I probably will do the same thing. Going into FOBAB next month.
Oh yeah, so you don't have this for FOBAB, but a similar one.
I have the base beer, which was the barrel aged chaos, the barrel aged imperial stout, that I will age on cocoa nibs leading up to FOBAB, so it's nice and bright and fresh. So I guess I can still make a little bit more, but I only have literally the amount that I need to bring to FOBAB. Left that I can make of this particular batch. With that said, we are doing Chaos next year, and we're kind of moving that into a side note barrel-aged variant as the whole thing. We're only doing one Chaos, basically, and it'll be Bourbon Barrel-Aged Imperial Stout, this time with cocoa nibs, of course, and then it'll also have coconut and then cinnamon.
Stop! Cinnamon. Oh no! Yeah. Forget the cinnamon.
Yeah, it's so we did it. It was our really popular side note release that we did back in April, I think, and that was called "Gimme Samoa." It was our second side note release, I think we're gonna do that this year as Chaos. But we'll probably do we'll continue doing cocoa nibs and a lot of other stuff. Again, it's just one of the ingredients that I really like working with. I think it adds a lot of complexity, brings out flavors that you wouldn't get if you didn't add them. Just a fun ingredient for me, and I think people like it. It's kind of dessert in a glass. It's a nightcapper. Like you said, you could have a cigar with this type of beer, and you get all those sweet flavors of it.
But let me tell you, just add a scoop of your favorite vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be Haagen-Dazs or Oberweis or something. And then just drizzle a little of this around the edge of it in a martini glass.
Yeah.
You've got yourself a dessert. This is excellent. You should do food pairings dinners,
absolutely,
and this would be dessert.
Yeah,
this would definitely be a dessert. And I have to say that I, one more time, get back to the old subject matter. This is a chain, like you call chain brewery and all that stuff. You won't expect this to come out with just any place, you know. This is something special that you have made.
Yeah.
And Sean, you are in great company in this category, because I think there were about 43 entries, which is not to be sniffed at for a chocolate beer, right? Because not many people do a chocolate beer.
No.
The second place silver medal winner was the Zwanzig Brewing Company.
Zwanzig. Okay.
Pardon?
20.
Easy for you to say.
Yes, it is.
And they got the Small Brew Pub and Small Brewer of the Year award.
Okay.
So you beat them out, dude.
Okay.
So not to be sniffed at. Not to be sniffed at. This is tremendous. So I don't know what else to say after this. I'm just sitting here relaxing.
That's good.
This is perfect.
And that's exactly
wonderful.
It's exactly what my beer is supposed to do. It's supposed to just bring people together, relax, enjoy it. that's what brewing's all about. Not just my beer. That's just what beer is all about.
Yes. And as a fellow brewer, so to speak, I can appreciate these kind of things.
Yeah.
And I give it full credit to where it belongs. You know, it belongs to you this time. It is just fantastic. I will never make anything like this. I know that, and that's why I can appreciate it even more.
Not even HMQ 90 that we made? Come on.
Well, come on. No. That's a whole different kind of story, you know. It's another beer. It's style, another story. But it's just concentrating on this kind of beer, you know. This is the top of the line. I think the right guy won.
So, Sean, you're a family man. You've got an absolutely wonderful little boy, girl.
I have a little girl.
A little girl.
Just turned one a couple weeks ago.
I've seen some pictures on Facebook, but I couldn't remember them.
Yeah.
Especially after this chocolate beer. I'm sorry, this overrides.
I can't blame
rats.
You.
Come on.
I can't blame you.
When you're brewing, do you like to just focus on your job or do you listen to music?
That's a good question. It depends what mood I'm in. It sounds weird, but a lot of times I don't have any music playing and I'm just focused on the beer, clearing my head. I know a lot of people listen to music to clear their head, but sometimes I find it distracting. So I like to focus on the beer a lot of the times, but occasionally, depending on what I'm brewing, I might, or transferring a beer or something like that, I'll definitely have some music playing in the background.
What do you like to listen to?
Man, I'm all over the place. I listen to anything, really. I'll listen to country. I'll listen to a lot of alternative, kind of modern alternative, or 90s alternative is kind of my favorite, I guess, if I had to pick one.
He doesn't remember the 70s or anything like that.
Right, unfortunately.
I do listen to hip-hop. It just depends what mood I'm in. I listen to everything, though. I don't classical, even sometimes. Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever I'm in the mood for. Whatever is there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll listen to anything.
What do you like to do aside from brewing beer for fun?
Fun,
it seems like you're a very focused family man, so maybe that's it.
I do definitely. I definitely spend a lot of time brewing, and that's kind of where my passion is, and I'm glad I found that. But I'm definitely, my family is everything to me. Like, I'd drop anything for them, whether it's brewing or anything. That's my number one.
As long as it's not a bottle of chaos, we're all
right. Yeah. I definitely have fun outside of here. Just seeing my daughter grow has kind of been the most beautiful thing ever in the world. I'd give up a million GABF golds to watch her grow up. It's just beautiful.
I have a daughter, and I agree with you
100%. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing I would rather see.
Somebody once told me once that anybody can have a boy, but it takes a real man to have a girl. That's what we like to think.
So far, I think that's true.
I'm sure there's more on the way.
Yeah.
Sean Burns, Ram Brewery, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you here. We've had some really good beers. Mark?
Absolutely.
Any final comments?
The final comment is that I really am impressed by what Sean can produce. It's extraordinary. Mm. Not even this beer, but other beers he let me taste, okay? We exchange beers.
What, without me? Oh, come on.
Yeah, we hide from you sometimes. But anyway, so I really appreciate what he's done for the beer industry, even in that matter, okay? So your name is known.
Thank you.
It's good.
That honestly means a lot coming from Mark. Mark's background, which I'm sure you all know, is just ridiculous.
10 years in prison. No, sorry. I didn't mean to mention that.
You have to edit that out.
Okay.
I definitely have taken a lot of tips from Mark, actually, the Oktoberfest. I won't say it here, but Mark probably knows what I'm talking about. Some of his fermentation tips that he's given me, which was probably about a year ago, I actually employed on this beer. And I think it turned out beautiful. So, I mean, I can't thank Mark enough for any help in criticisms or advice that he's ever given to me. It's definitely been taken to heart. And
I got one last question for
yes.
you. I got one last question for
Uh-oh.
You.
Uh-oh.
Name your corporate beers.
So we actually won two medals this year at RAM. And the other gold medal was for our Chicago Blonde. That was out of our Tacoma store, so we don't send in every blonde from every single brewery, but we send what we think is the best or freshest at that point in time. In this case, it was our Tacoma Ram. They pulled out a gold medal for our Chicago Blondes. So that's our top selling beer, light, easy drinking beer. Move down the line, we have our Hefeweizen, which is a kind of traditional
Ten
German.
Seconds.
German style, I'm sorry, Hefeweizen. Then we have our Buttface Amber Ale. Then we move on to our Porter, which has won some gold medals too. And then we have...
My favorite.
Yeah, the Porter's really nice. Then we have our 71 Pale Ale, which to me is our sleeper beer. It's one of my favorite go-to beers that we have on tap at all times. But it's it definitely doesn't move fast, but it's one of my favorite. It's absolutely delicious. And then we have our Big Red IPA, which is an IPA with citrons and Amarillo, and that's a really great beer too. That's it. That's our six year-rounds. We always have those.
Good answer. When I come for a growler full, I always go for the 71.
Yeah,
71. That has gone down very well at many a Britain Yankee pub dart night.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
That's really good. So I think all that remains for us to say on this fabulous edition, this gold medal winning edition of the Britain Yankee Pubcast is good night from me, Mark.
And good night from him.
And I think it's...
Cheers.
Oh, that was nice. Let's try that one more
Let's
time.
Let's try again.
Oh,
that was quite, better.
That was quite
better,
a clang, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I'll tell you. This guy's too good looking. Can we get away and maybe, you know, get him out of the picture?
Let's try.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on radio. Otherwise, it would be terrible for us on TV.
Right, yeah. They don't want to see me right now.
I found out where his other three bottles are.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, just follow me after the podcast.
All right, once we're done, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Stum, stum, stum.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint. No. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give me another pint, please, Bob.